A story when we were reviewing the papers this morning caught my eye in the Times Ireland morning edition. It says, hauliers in danger of being injured or killed by migrants. It's a story by Brian Mahan. Coincidentally, we had decided to cover this very aspect on the programme this morning. Hauliers are in danger of being killed by migrants if not enough is done to protect them, the Road Haulage Association has said. Eugene Drennan, a member of the council of the Road Haulage Association of Ireland, is quoted as saying, drivers are not getting enough protection or support from a number of governments. We don't feel we're getting enough protection from the North Coast countries, France, Belgium and Holland. The rate of people getting into these trailers and the angst of these people as it comes to winter to get to the UK makes it a bigger and tougher situation. And Eugene Drennan joins us on the line now. Good morning, Eugene.
Good morning, Tim.
Thank you for joining us. And coincidentally, as we had spoken yesterday and set up this slot for today, an article quoting yourself on this very issue is appearing on the Times Ireland Morning Edition. Now, our online edition. We have heard much about the difficulties of the migrants. We have heard much about the tragedy of those 60-plus migrants who died in Essex. The 17 who appeared in Wexford last week, which led to your appearance on the primetime programme that night speaking about it. Nine of those have gone missing since and are understood to have headed to the UK to join friends and relations over there. But not very much has been said about the day-to-day work of the 99.999% of haulier drivers who are trying to conduct their work in the most difficult conditions and are vulnerable to very serious prosecution, even though they might be entirely innocent of having people in their trailers.
Yes, Tim, you hit the nail on the head there. Not enough has been done to protect them, and there's no sign of anything being done. We first raised this issue in 2010. Owen Gavin was our president of our association at the time. Subsequent to that, in 2015, he took the then spokesman for Fianna Fáil and Transport to Calais to show him at first sight what truck drivers have to go through and what's going on in Calais and the camps and whatnot. Now, that's 4 years ago, and not a bit has changed, you know. If anything, perhaps the size of the problem has got a little bit bigger again recently.
Now, I heard there was an article in the Irish Times yesterday under the headline that Cherbourg, that while Calais has tightened up considerably, Cherbourg, the article, according to the article, is wide open. Give me a flavour, Eugene. You're the managing director of your own haulier company, Spa Transport Limited.
Right.
Give me, and listeners, a picture here in County Kildare and the surrounding counties of the challenges and events that drivers are facing on a daily basis on the continent.
Okay, if we separate out the ports, the ones in Cherbourg and Roscoff, and there's a long distance one out of Santander in Spain as well, they come directly into Ireland. It used to be the old vessel out of Rosslare when we all started going to France many moons ago into the Harve, similar distance. Now, they are direct ferries to Ireland. By and large, migrants, Ireland is not the first port of call for migrants, but they've recently started to get, try to use it and to get on board the trucks far more frequently there, because they see this Ireland as the backdoor to the UK. The UK is still the holy grail for these migrants for whatever reason, for historical, for whatever reasons in their own country that they have this belief of the social welfare system or the NHS or social welfare, the power of English or what they see on television as being a utopian life. But now they have got interested in these longer routes. The other routes are the routes we take through England, which are generally north of France, Calais, Ostend in Belgium, perhaps Rotterdam or Zeebrugge in Holland and in Belgium as well. They would have to come through England. And whereas the Calais port has a lot more defensives and a lot more security conscious and checks of recent times, the other ports are still very lax. They don't have the sophistication, radiation type of equipment to detect heartbeat or breath, and they don't have as well policed ports.
Now, Eugene, tell just at this juncture, we are familiar with the idea of where, for example, the migrants in Wexford, the migrants who unfortunately died in England, that their trucks, they didn't hop onto trucks at the ports. There was criminality involved there, organised criminal gangs, which you are very concerned about. And those people are loaded onto these trailers many, many miles away from the ports where the trailers are then delivered. In terms of the average driver, and leaving the criminality aside for the moment, how are these migrants getting onto the trailers of your trucks, when I say your trucks, of the Haulier Association's trucks?
Yes, by many different means, but all of them cause damage. Now, the case in point of the most recent one that's highlighted that came into Rathlare, it was a fridge unit. And putting migrants, of course, on board fridge units is exceptionally dangerous because they're a totally sealed trailer. They have to be for the nature of the goods that travel. Now, in their instance, they were very lucky in that that fridge was running at a warm temperature. But what if it was unchilled or worse still, unfrozen? We would have had a massive problem with people dead in Rathlare. They were put on by a criminal gang by a very sophisticated method. And rather than letting everybody know how good this gang was, but they took the back door, part of the back door, the found entry by a means which hasn't been tried before but was very successful. And they got to manipulate the door to give enough room to push the people on board and reseal it. That trailer was fully sealed, and on top of that, it had a very sophisticated lock on it that cost somewhere between 350 and 500 euro for the lock itself, so that it couldn't be cut. It was of hardened steel, and if it was cut, it would be very visible. So they got to manipulate it to get enough room to push them in, on board and repair the trailer. Now, they had to take off some of the insulation off the doors to do this. And they had it done and the trailer repaired while the driver was having his break. Now, for people who have never travelled on the continent, if you pull in for your break, by and large, into a service point, it would be like putting into any of the major service stations we now have here in Ireland. But however, the restaurant area, the food area, is near where the pumps are and the shop, but your parking is to one side. And quite frequently, more often than not, they have trees. They, you know, they keep their fond of trees, and they have trees all over the place. So it's out of visibility, or it's hidden visibility for the greater part.
So what you're saying, Eugene, is that while the driver is inside having his break, he's parked in a parking compound, we'll call it that for the want of better, that a very highly organised, sophisticated gang will come along. They can remove portions of the back of the truck, get the people on board, reseal it as if nothing has been touched, and nothing has been witnessed.
That's what happened in this case, They will pick you, vulnerable one, maybe three, hiding or shading. You must remember, at this time of year, and even a bit earlier, in that area, across that coastline, it's dim light. It's dim light here in Ireland, but we are a little bit brighter. They have low cloud cover, and it's grey. The days are grey. So if you're pulling up, you're not looking at a truck, and cars are pulling up at a different point anyway.
Right, that's the organised criminal gang's end of things. What about the opportunistic situation where individual migrants are finding their way into trucks?
They will have somebody walk in front of the truck at enough distance to stop. And while that truck pulls up, they might have four or five fellas in the back. Or they will have, they'll cut a curtain side of the vehicle. They'll cut it in some spot, unconspicuous, and perhaps have a roll of tape of some sort to close it up when they get in. Or they may have somebody on the outside that will close it for them.
Right. Is there an answer?
Or they have been known to jump in between the axles, or maybe jump into the softened boxes on the trailers for carrying pallets and get in there. Or they will go up on top of the cab, up behind the windbreaker, or any of these places. It is high risk and fast moving. But the people are at a stage of angst, anger and frustration and poverty and hunger at this stage that they're willing to try most anything.
Is it possible or practical? Because I've never been to. I think I might have been in Calais once, but in terms of these ports, I'm sure we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of trucks. Is it possible that there be greater security at these parking compounds so that these gangs can't operate in this manner?
At these ports, Tim, you're talking about thousands and thousands of trucks, not hundreds. It is a massive volume. For somebody who hasn't travelled or may not travel except summertime in Ireland, it is hard to envisage. But they're the gateway to the whole market of Europe, to all the, for the most part, unless you go up through northern Germany. And it's a main gateway for the whole mass of Europe. So it is colossal volume and huge. But there is, of course, you know, we're talking about very wealthy countries. France, who has said, you know, you saw the yellow vest protest, yeah, and how the police and the army can be turned in there. These camps are now nearly 10 years on the northern coast and they haven't dealt with it because they don't want it. The full political initiative isn't there to do something. And for our sake, if we may reflect on the migrants who came into us there, I firmly believe at this stage that they should not have been allowed into Ireland. Now, with the best will in the world and the greatest of charity to the people, we're a saturation point here to take care of the people we have taken in, to give them proper conditions. And we have to draw a line in the sand that this is not a back door into England, and that if you come on the longboats into Ireland, you will be returned. Because there is a protocol, there is a mechanism there. It was signed by the European Union in Dublin all the years ago. It's the Dublin Convention or Dublin Covenant. And you must seek asylum on your first country you arrive in Europe. And that's not Ireland, for the most part, for any of them. And if they don't go through the protocols or through the system, then you're aiding and abetting the criminal gangs by extension.
All right. Now, Eugene, has there been intimidation? I'm sure there is the possibility that drivers will be intimidated even by these criminal gangs, not just in the cases of trying to smuggle them onto drivers, but in fact of threatening harm, violence, even death on drivers unless they cooperate. Have you experienced any of that, or is that a fear of yours?
It is a big fear, and it has been experienced. There was a driver, an Irish driver, who had a similar to a Stanley knife, it's called something else, one of these quick, sharp knives, held his throat and slightly, ever so slightly grazed, and his finger was cut. And he was told to drive into Calais and go to the British side. Now, when you come into Calais, you know, England has a border post in Calais on the side of France now. So you come in on the French, go through your clearance, and they want to get to onto the British side and then seek asylum. More frequently returned. But that, you see, you're making a very quick decision under stress and duress there. Now, he could ask for assistance at the French side, but they're very slow to come to you. And there is such a volume of people trying to break the system, why not? If they're a bit stretched on the day, you could wait an hour and a half. And he had people in the back that weren't going to wait 5 minutes. So he pulled up to the English side, hopped out and declared, there's guys on board. They've just scared me, what that. He got arrested and fined £500. He had six people on board. His employer got fined £12,000. This is all sterling. If the driver doesn't pay his fine, it attaches to the haulier at a double rate of £1,000. Plus, the truck is held and the load is held until you sign certain bonds. Should that money not be paid at some other time you're going through the UK, they impound it.
So, in effect, the driver...
Yes.
So, in effect, in this case, even though the driver was innocent and had been physically intimidated and injured, you're assumed to be guilty.
Yes. It's like Shane Russell's penalty fines and what he's threatening today. It's mandatory.
Right.
And you can have all the reasons and, you know, bona fide reasons not taken. And they have produced a document, the English Border Police have produced a document of your checks that you must do or the balances of it, and you have to be seen to comply, and you must do it under a camera, maybe at a filling station or whatever you put on that form, and it's supposed to have a mitigating effect. It may get a little bit of mitigation for you when you go to appeal, but not to this day have they ever taken into account for people that have stopped. And a lot of Irish people have been prosecuted and penalised, and these very heavy fines put upon them. So we need our Minister of Foreign Affairs to raise this issue, to bring it to a higher level, or we will have an Irish man or an employee of an Irish firm badly hurt, badly maimed, or even killed, because the level and the temperature has risen so much. It's wrong. And even our treatment, okay, if I may say so here, on the ones that came into Rosslare, we had 5, 6, 7 agencies to meet the migrants. They were checked and they were balanced and they were feathered and they were fed. The driver was taken in for questioning. I don't think he was arrested, but he was held for a good few hours being questioned. His phone was taken. He was quizzed upside down. And he was a totally innocent party, and obviously an innocent party, working for a very bona fide, upright company in the Wexford area. The claim of that load is $1 million. And the driver is shot. His nerves are gone. He probably will perhaps give up the job, because he's gone back out on the continent this week with full of trepidation and fear. If more migrants get on, he's associated with them. If he should happen to have a frozen or chilled load, will he open the door to somebody being dead? How could he have it on his conscience? And he's wrecked. But there's no support for him.
All right. We thought it was important to give the driver's perspective, and it's been very eloquently conveyed there by Council Member of the Irish Road Haulage Association, Eugene Drennan. The difficulties faced on a daily basis and the implications for potential real harm and injury to come to drivers in the future. Eugene Drennan, Council Member of the Irish Road Haulage Association. Thank you very much, Eugene, for joining us. Thank you indeed. And good morning
Hello,
to you.
County Kildare this morning. Thank you.
Thank you indeed. That's Eugene Drennan, with owner, and we'll be heading to the Leixlip Selbridge district and our clock as well. I don't know about you, but I found Eugene Drennan.